Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of this program, and we'll be here for the next hour and 25 minutes, talking about the news of the day. And we, again, appreciate you listening to AFR. Ed Vitagliano is with me. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Yeah, I'm here.
Fred is news director for AFR and OneNewsNow.com.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't be here Monday or Tuesday. Now, I'm going to tell you why, and I know nobody really cares, but I do, because it happened to me. I had a cataract removed from one of my eyes. You guys ever experienced this?
No.
No.
Not yet.
No.
Yeah.
I'm
well,
getting up there.
Anyway, a lot of people have two eyes, but I only had a one eye cataract.
Well, most people one have
eye
two eyes.
Duly noted, Ed.
I
kind of walked into that one, didn't I? Huh? Except for a Cyclops, right? And who knows Cyclops is really anymore today, right? They're not
that's
out
right.
there.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I had a...
Nobody's going after the Cyclops vote in 2020, you know?
No, just very few to be had there. They really are.
Right.
I don't think even in swing states they're going to make... They're going to make that much of a difference. Do you?
No, that's right.
I just don't see it there.
Yeah.
Maybe zombies. Maybe the
yes.
zombie vote
you
want would make
you
a
want
difference.
You want the zombie turnout to be
right.
High,
right, right.
Especially
can,
in Democratic states
wait.
Where there's a lot of zombies.
I can hardly wait for Ed's next letter.
All right, so I had cataract surgery. It's one of these deals where a lot of people listening have experienced it, I know, but it's one of these deals where you're awake while they're doing surgery on
you're
your,
awake while
on
they
your
do
eyeball.
That?
Well, the doctor told me, he said, you're going to be in the twilight zone, basically. You're going to be.
They gave you a happy pill.
Yeah.
So you weren't fully under.
You're not fully under, but you're not really able to control anything or do anything. You're laying there still. Mm. So I think I started laughing out. They gave me some, well, you got a happy pills out?
Happy pill, yeah.
Happy pill or happy gas, anyway.
Yeah.
So
you don't
anyway.
Care? Because I just.
No. You are seeing. I say seeing. I don't know what you're doing. The eye that they're doing surgery on, which
yeah.
lasts about half an hour, you know that your eyeball is being messed with.
And you're not moving. Wow, that's
strange. It's not painful at all. It's just all kind of different color lights are moving around. Things. So what they're doing is, I guess they're putting a lens in there. I think is what they...
Well, for cataract. They have to scrape off,
yeah.
I think, the eyeball. I
mean, yeah.
And they have to scrape the cataract.
That's what I was seeing, Ed, right there.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so anyway, but I got my vision back, such that it is. It wasn't perfect anyway. I
yeah.
already wore glasses, but I'm glad to have this back. But that fuzzy eyesight you have from a cataract just is very annoying.
Yeah.
My oldest daughter used to work at an eye clinic for a while, and some people would come in the morning for their appointment. Yeah, I'm here for the cataract surgery.
Well, I'd like to jump in for a little Cadillac surgery.
Well,
come
anyway.
Out, you go in with a Toyota and you come out with a Cadillac?
I just thank the Lord that I'm well. I'm glad you guys care about that. And the fact that modern medicine is, the things they can do is just, you know, what was impossible even 50 years ago, now we just take for granted. It's just it's just incredible. All right, Fred.
Yeah,
what's happening, my friend?
If you were in eastern Tennessee around 4 o'clock this morning, you had a rude awakening because they had an earthquake there, 4.4 on the Richter scale. Now, the good news, no reports of any injuries, and the power people are saying the grid is fine over there. But still, I think, you know, it 4.4 is a pretty good shake.
Yeah.
And was felt all the way down to Atlanta. We're told.
And that's not necessarily what you automatically think of as being earthquake country.
No, but there's, I was just reading a follow-up to it, and there is a fairly, what they call, geologists call, a fairly active fault line.
That's not the New Madrid fault, is it?
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
No, that's here.
That's here, yeah.
In Memphis.
That runs from the New Madrid, I think is what it's called, runs from, I think, southern Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
To Memphis?
Missouri, down through Memphis, and down even.
So this is a different fault.
Down into Mississippi.
What? Yeah. Okay. Along the Mississippi River.
Yeah. Unless they moved it.
Right.
So did they move the fault?
I don't know. The fault's not mine. So
I think
all
it's still where I said it was.
Fault is not the fault.
So in East Tennessee and Kentucky, huh?
East Tennessee and, like I said, fell down to Atlanta. But you remember last week we were talking about the earthquake in Alaska.
Yes.
And yeah.
Dramatic photos.
Are earthquakes increasing around the world? Do you know that?
Earthquakes in diverse places, the Bible says.
Right.
You know, and our prophecy students out there would think that way.
Hmm.
That we're seeing things that, you know, Alaska, West Coast, earthquakes, kind of, it's to be expected. But when it starts happening in the southeastern part of the country, where, as you folks point out, you know, we're used to tornadoes.
Right.
Heavy rain, hurricanes. But when it comes to earthquakes, that's very unusual.
Well, you know, for who wants to pick their poison when it comes to treacherous weather, right?
Right.
But tornadoes, you know they're coming for the most part. Hurricanes, the same thing. Earthquakes?
Mm.
You know, there's no earthquake warning for the day. This afternoon, 50% chance of earthquake.
Right.
No. And the sky's clearing, and, you know, nobody says that. So I tell you what I would be worried about. In California, that big fault there.
San Andreas?
That runs from Northern California all the way down to Los Angeles. Maybe even south of Los Angeles. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that thing, they keep...
Mm-hmm.
They always say the big one will come.
The big one, yeah. So, now the structures in California, at least probably in the last 30 years, have been made to withstand major earthquakes.
Right.
But still, if you were to get an 8 or 9 or something like that, that would still do major damage, seems to me.
And some of these cities, Los Angeles, probably very old sections, probably.
Right, right.
You know, that were built before these codes.
Right.
The last big one, I think, as far as California goes, San Francisco.
1906, maybe?
1906? Oh, no, it was the 80s.
You remember they had I think it was Oakland and Oakland A's and the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah, that's right.
They were playing in the World Series. Remember that?
And
they had it in the game. Was it Candlestick Park? And the earthquake happened before the game, I think, and people were getting out in the middle of the field to get away from the stadium.
Yeah.
I was talking about the one that leveled Frisco. That was 1906.
Oh, 1906,
That leveled it or something.
Of course, they wouldn't have had structures built to withstand earthquakes back in those days. Either one of you guys ever felt an earthquake?
Yes.
Yeah. In California. My last year of Bible college, we lived in California.
Mm-hmm.
In Costa Mesa, and it felt a couple occasions.
I have two, but this when I was probably 10.
It's just to me, it was just like a rumbling. It was to me. I mean, I don't remember.
They don't last long. What?
No.
10 seconds or so.
And we had a couple things, seconds. on a night table or something. You know, kind of tremble there, and then I thought, well, was that an earthquake? And then you find out, that was an earthquake.
Yeah.
They had one.
Mine was on the east coast of Canada, of all places. Lived west coast for 10 years, a few rumbles there, but the one on the east coast was more dramatic. It was like 3 o'clock on a Sunday morning.
Mm.
I think it was the middle of winter. It was really cold outside.
Really?
Clear skies, and all of a sudden, it was like somebody took our house and slammed it against a rock.
It was that?
Oh, yeah. The crib, our oldest daughter was a little baby then. Her whole crib moved right across one wall to the other.
Wow.
And like I said, it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and so you hear this slamming, and you feel it. And people start opening their windows. You know, it's cold outside, but everybody's opening the window. What in the world was that?
Well, that sounded like a jolt.
It was a real jolt. It really was. And there is this helpless feeling. There is, like you said, there's no prediction. But you realize there's nothing I can do to stop this.
Right.
This is going to happen.
You can't hide anywhere, hardly. I guess you could hide under something to keep the, above you from falling on your head. But
Yeah, you go outside. You're supposed to leave the building in an earthquake, which is all these rules are different. You know, tornadoes, stay inside, get in a safe place. Right. Earthquake, you're supposed to exit.
Get out.
Right. What if a tornado is hitting the same time an earthquake?
Well, then it is not your day.
Yeah. I mean, that's a dilemma right there. Is it not?
Yes, it is.
Especially if you're ahead of your household. What do? Do you tell your kids we go inside or outside? I don't know. I just hope that never happens to me. Go ahead, Fred. Next story.
All right. Well, speaking of earthquakes and storms, I saw something yesterday. Talk about experiencing strange things. We talked about last couple of days. We knew this was coming. Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer were going to the White House to have a meeting in the Oval Office with the president to discuss budget, wall funding, et cetera, et cetera. But what the president did and the White House media people did, which was kind of shocking, but they've done this in the past, they allowed reporters and cameras to come in before the formal meeting started. And what we saw, of course, they taped this and then the networks play it all back. But what we saw was nothing short, I guess the hockey term is a Donnybrook. This was a verbal Donnybrook.
No pun intended.
No pun intended.
Donald Trump.
Between President Trump, Nancy Pelosi sitting on a coach over
a
the left.
A verbal Donnybrook, we should
A
have.
Verbal yeah. Donnybrook, yeah. And then Chuck Schumer. And they decided to go at it verbally over the issue, particularly of the wall and border security.
And did you see Mike? I'm sorry to interrupt you, but did you see... Did you see Vice President Pence's body language?
Yes.
You talk about, I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
This is a polite, well-mannered Midwestern governor from Indiana. And you got these three, you got a couple of New Yorkers.
Right.
And this
California
lady, I'm being polite, Pelosi. Especially these two New Yorkers going at each other. Mm-hmm. And, It was a very awkward moment for the vice president.
I saw one picture. His body language. He looked like a six.
He's pinned back in his chair.
Yeah, look like at a him. Sixth grader.
His hands are on his knees. He's like going.
Someone described it as a judge in a tennis match.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead. Finish your.
Anyway,
set this up.
President Trump kind of opened the conversation by saying, in my mind, it is true and the facts are there that when you secure the border, the numbers of people coming into our country drops dramatically. And he provided some evidence for that. Cut number one.
Illegal traffic dropped 72%, then ultimately 95% once the wall was up. In Tucson, Arizona, illegal traffic dropped 92%. Yuma, it dropped illegal traffic 95% to 96%. I mean, and that when I say dropped, the only reason we even have any percentage where people got through is because they walk and go around areas that aren't built. It dropped virtually 100% in the areas where the wall is. So, I mean, it's very effective. If you really want to find out how effective a wall is, just ask Israel. 99.9% effective. Then our wall will be every bit as good as that, if not better. So we've done a lot of work on the wall. A lot of wall is built. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of wall is renovated. We have walls that were in very bad condition that are now in A1 tip-top shape.
So there you have it. The president opened the discussion in front of the cameras by providing some evidence that a wall, which he wants, which he promised during the election campaign, is effective. Well, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer weren't hearing any of this whatsoever. Cut number three.
We have a lot of disagreements here. The Washington Post today gave you a whole lot of Pinocchios because they say you constantly misstate how much the wall is built, how much of the wall is built, and how much is there. But that's not the point here. We have a disagreement about the wall,
Washington Post.
Whether it's effective or not. Not on border security, but on the wall. We do not want to shut down the government. You have called 20 times to shut down the government. You say, I want to shut down the government. We don't. We want to come to an agreement. If we can't come to an agreement, we have solutions that will pass the House and Senate right now and will not shut down the government. And that's what we're urging you to do. Not threaten to shut down the government because you, let me just finish, because you can't get your way.
The last time you shut it down, you got killed.
Yeah, let me say something, Mr. President. You just say my way or we'll shut down the government. We have a proposal that Democrats and Republicans will support to do a CR that will not shut down the government. We urge you to take it.
And if it's not good border security, I won't take it.
It is very good border security.
And if it's not good border security, I won't take it.
And so on and on it went. I mean, obviously, they didn't come to any kind of agreement.
Chuck Schumer mentioned CR. That's the continuing resolution.
Yes.
And so what Senator Schumer is saying is President Trump signed the continuing resolution, keep the government funded, but we're not putting money in for a wall to build a wall.
Any money?
Well, I think they've offered $1.3 billion.
Yes. And that's it. The president, you remember when he first talked about this, talked about $25 billion. He has dropped his demand down to $5
billion. Right.
Now, we need to remind people of a few things. The president came up with an offer to the Democrats back several months ago that he would basically give amnesty to the Dreamers, the DACA, in exchange for money to build a wall. Nancy Pelosi, no. Chuck Schumer, we're not hearing this. So these millions of Dreamers, these are kids who came into the country with their parents, who entered the country illegally. The president is saying, we'll work out a deal where they get to stay. Pelosi and Schumer say no to that because they are so against building and securing our southern border. They don't want it.
And they don't want to give the president any kind of victory.
Right. No.
So they will. That's President Trump did that. One of the reasons he made that offer you've just discussed was to make to show the Democrats for what they are.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they don't really care about the lives of these Dreamers that they purport to love and to stand for more than they want President Trump to suffer a defeat in not getting border wall security money. See what I'm saying? So, in fact, I remember reading a lot of these Dreamers were offended that the Democrats didn't take that deal because they're going like, you mean I can have legal citizenship here and you're turning that down, Democrats?
Right.
Because you don't want the president to have some money to build a wall? And if the wall is going to be ineffective, why do you care that he builds it? We got billions of dollars for everything in the world. My goodness gracious alive.
Right.
Huh? We said government waste, Republicans and Democrats just spend like drunken sailors. Right. And my apologies to drunken sailors right there, but they both do. And so it isn't a matter of not having the money. It's just a matter of they don't want President Trump to get any kind of a win or credit or boost his enthusiasm with his
plus they're just borders. They're simply open borders people too.
Yes, they are. No, they are. We've mentioned this before. The Democrats want open borders because they want as many illegals to come here as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Then at some point they're given amnesty, and then they are lifelong Democrats.
Right.
And they're from socialistic countries in Central America and Mexico, so they vote Democrat. They vote big government, and it ultimately. It changes America as we know it because it will be, the death of the Republican Party within 10 to 15 years.
To become a socialist nation, the only way Democrats would ever call for a wall is if all these Hispanics coming into the country started voting Republican. If they started voting Republican, they became legal and voted Republican, it'd be Democrats saying, we want to build a wall.
Yeah. Because you're right.
Their only goal is the permanent majority of the Democratic Party.
Yes.
I don't know how the Hispanic vote, Hispanics now are the largest minority.
That's correct.
In the U.S., African-Americans are now the second largest. I don't know what percentage Hispanics are in a country.
I think it's 15 or 16%.
I think African-Americans are 13 or 14. So anyway, but the Democrats are banking on, the Hispanic vote, as it were. Hispanics are not a monolithic vote, but trending Democrat. And if they trend Democrat, even 70-30, then that really hurts Republicans' chances of winning anywhere.
Yeah. And
so that's what you got to watch out for.
But the president is getting high praise. He stood his ground yesterday. And Chuck Schumer said, well, you want a shutdown. You want a shutdown. The president, finally, towards the end of that opening period with the reporters in the room, he said, I'll wear it.
Opening round.
Opening round. He says the shutdown will be on me. And he's getting a lot of praise for that. This is how it sounded. Cut five.
I'll take it. Okay, good. You know what I'll say? Yes. If we don't get what we want, one way or the other, whether it's through you, through a military, through anything you want to call, I will shut down the government.
Okay,
absolutely.
Fair enough.
And
we
I am
disagree.
Proud, and I'll
we
tell
disagree.
You what, I am proud to shut down the government for border security, Chuck, because the people of this country don't want criminals and people that have lots of problems and drugs pouring into our country. So I will take the mantle.
There you have it.
What do you call a gauntlet? What is a gauntlet exactly?
That's what that was a glove that they wore in the Middle Ages. Knights or someone like that would throw down the gauntlet. They threw it down, meaning I'm challenging you to a fight.
Yep. Okay, well, that's what happened right there.
Yep.
And the president, he said he'd own it?
Yep.
Yeah.
I tell you what you got to watch out for right here. And I'm not a politician, but. You got to be careful when you're in the position that the president's in, or in the position that Schumer and Pelosi are in, is boxing yourself in. Now, I'm not saying the president was wrong to do what he did, because he's obviously, this is his signature campaign issue.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the Democrats have already won back the House of Representatives, so the election is not in front of him. So he may feel this way, but I don't, this is me just, I may be wrong, okay? It's rare, I agree, it's rare, but I may be wrong about this in looking forward, but if you're going to be willing to shut down the government, and the President Trump said, I will.
Right.
So this isn't a situation where the Democrats blame the Republicans, and the Republicans, no, it's not us. This is the President taking ownership of this. I don't think a shutdown of the government is sustainable for any long period of time.
What do you mean? I mean, he's talking about vetoing the CR, the continuing resolution.
Okay.
He'll just veto it. Now, he can do that for as long as he wants.
Okay.
Are you talking about the political pressure?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's
yeah,
remind.
You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying I'm not for him exerting his executive power like this. I'm just telling you my political view is that to box yourself in like that, that's what he's done here. You better be willing to carry forward with it, or the Democrats are going to see that you don't mean what you say,
right?
And you'll never be able to negotiate.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're yeah. saying if he says he'll
shut down the government
and he doesn't. That's a good
point.
Because
he's saying he wants $5
billion? $5 billion.
I don't know what he'd be willing to settle for. He didn't say right there.
No. Right.
But they're offering him $1.5 billion.
That's all.
It could vary. $1.3 billion. Because I think Republicans would go wobbly on this too.
Yes.
I think President Bush would be as opposed by his own party as he would the Democrats. But I'll tell you something else.
President Bush or President?
I mean President Trump. I'm sorry. But I'll tell you something else. If he makes this the hill to die on,
lays down the gauntlet,
he says, I am shutting down whatever it is, the 15% of the government that we're talking about, until I get money for that wall, and I'm willing to lose re-election in 2020 over it. Shame on both the Republicans and the Democrats for not protecting the American people.
Yep.
That might make him a hero.
Yeah, I think
Or he may lose in 2020.
That's what the people who voted for him, that's what they want. And he was being applauded yesterday for standing his ground.
But I don't think that any president, be it Democrat or Republican, can sustain a, quote, government shutdown beyond 3 weeks.
Pressure would be enormous, but he would have to be willing to stake his presidency on this.
Yes, yes, he would be. That would be, as you say, a hill to die on, as I said, gauntlet. Fred has no metaphor.
He's metaphorless.
We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up.
and you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Hey, Stephen McDowell has been a personal friend of mine for a couple of decades now. He is one of the best historians I know. He is president of the Providence Foundation, and no one documents early American history, especially the Christian aspect of early American history, better than my friend Stephen McDowell. He is going with us on our spiritual heritage tours, and he'll be talking all along the way and answering questions. And you're going to enjoy spending time with him if you're able to go with us in June or September. Again, we're going to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, and we're also going on a separate trip to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. So if you'd like to go on either one of these or both of them, contact us at spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. The Christmas Grinches are yelling bah humbug at the First Lady's Christmas decorations. Their chief complaint? Mrs. Trump's red Christmas trees. Some critics call the White House Tannenbaum's blood trees. Others suggested Mrs. Trump was inspired by The Handmaid's Tale. Quite frankly, Mrs. Trump's decorations are elegant, and it was in keeping with the president's desire to bring Merry Christmas back to the White House. By the way, I don't seem to recall the mainstream media getting their tinsel in a twist over Mrs. Obama's Christmas decorations. Remember the dog topiaries made from garbage bags or the mouse-a-tongue Christmas ornaments? And for that matter, there was very little criticism when the Obamas considered removing the nativity scene from the White House. Their first Christmas in the White House, and the Obamas wanted to kick the baby Jesus to the curb. If that doesn't curdle your eggnog, I don't know what will. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Okay, how long till spring? Good night.
I'm loving just, it.
Bible says we're not supposed to hate, right? But I think it's okay to hate weather, don't you, Ed? I mean, it's an inanimate object, or is it even that?
Well, you go ahead and hate winter, and I will continue to hate July and August.
Okay, okay, so we just hate different aspects of the
weather. We agree on the biblical nature of the kind of hate we're talking about,
right?
Just not how it's applied.
Right. See, I want more global warming. See, that's the difference. People poll me and survey me on how I feel about global warming, and I'm for it.
Yeah.
You know, and then they're shocked. You're
Fly
for
in
it.
Your jet.
You're for it.
Warm it up.
You're for it. Yeah, I like warm weather better than cold weather. Oh, man. God bless our friends in the North and the Midwest who have to go through winters.
Before you know it, we will, here after the first of the year, I'm pretty sure, have a polar vortex. Remember when those have slipped down?
Mm-hmm. Is that what vortexes do? They slip down?
The polar vortex is now over the middle part of the country.
Right.
And
it's about to take on El Nino.
Yeah.
Somehow Canada usually gets blamed. A cold front from Canada.
Yes.
I'm here to tell you that cold weather does not originate in Canada.
I know Canada gets it from the North Pole, right?
They just pass
it on down.
Yeah. No, that's the Russians. Let's go all the way to the top there.
Russian collusion. Right. Russia sends it over the North Pole.
There you go.
To Canada. Canada sends it down here.
Yeah, Siberian Express.
To the good old U.S. of A. Well, anyway, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network.
Tim Wildman here with Ed Battagliano and Fred Jackson. We want to remind you, you can watch this show live on our Facebook or YouTube pages. Just go to Facebook or YouTube, type in Today's Issues, and you can watch the show there. We put the stories that we discuss there as well. You can interact with other viewers / listeners to AFR. So we encourage you to take advantage of that at Facebook or YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues. Tim with Ed and Fred, we welcome to our program Abraham Hamilton III. Abe joins us most Wednesdays. This segment, Abe is a constitutional attorney. He's public policy analyst for the American Family Association and host of the Hamilton Quarter each afternoon here on AFR from 5 to 6 o'clock Central Time. Good morning, Abe.
Good morning. Glad to be with the First Name Brigade. One syllable. Well, one syllable quote.
Yes, one syllable. Fred, Ed, Tim, and Abe.
Yes, I like it.
The one, what you call it?
The one syllable brigade.
I like it.
Yeah, the one syllable brigade right here. hey, I want to ask you, get your lawyer hat on over there, your constitutional lawyer hat on. We had the Supreme Court decided not to hear a case, and this made news on Monday, I think it was, relative to Planned Parenthood or funding of Planned Parenthood. Can you tell us what happened with this, what this case was about, and what the Supreme Court decided?
Yes. So after the video surfaced with Planned Parenthood demonstrating their sales of the body parts of murdered babies, several states across the country moved their state legislatures to remove Planned Parenthood from being a qualified medical provider under their state framework that would administer Medicaid funds. So particularly those states were Kansas and Louisiana that were part of this particular lawsuit. Well, expectedly, Planned Parenthood and a particular individual sued in those states to say that you can't remove Planned Parenthood because they are my medical care provider from your Medicaid funding framework. So that was the legal question. Does a private citizen have the standing to file a lawsuit against their state governments for removing Planned Parenthood from being able to receive Medicaid funds under their state framework? That was the legal question. So the issue wasn't really as much about abortion as it was whether or not states can govern who is a qualified provider for Medicaid purposes in their states.
Okay.
Perfectly legal, valid legal issue. And the reason why it was appealed to the Supreme Court, because you had different states, more specifically different federal appellate courts, to conclude different things. So in one state, the citizens can't sue to force the state legislatures to include certain people in the Medicaid framework. In other states, that they allowed the private citizen to sue.
What do you think? Well, first of all, the Supreme Court refused to hear the case.
Well, that is the issue. So it goes to the Supreme Court, and in order for the Supreme Court to take a case, the technical term is to grant certiorari. Four justices have to agree that the Supreme Court needs to hear the case. So out of the nine, only four have to agree. Not a majority, only four. Well, in this instance, the Supreme Court refused to hear the case because Justice Brett Kavanaugh and Justice John Roberts joined the progressive wing of the court with Ginsburg, Sotomayor, Kagan, and Breyer, and refused to hear the case.
Why did they do that? What was the reason?
Well, they didn't articulate. Well, they did articulate their reasons, but I find them to be very hollow, because the issues that normally result in the Supreme Court hearing a case is, one, what we call circuit splits, meaning you have different appellate courts that come to different conclusions, which makes the issue ripe for the Supreme Court to hear it. And two, it's an issue that's been repeatedly raised. This is something that is a recurring issue that's happening all across the country. There are states all over the country that are adjusting who is qualified to receive Medicaid funds under their statutory framework. So you would think that the Supreme Court would hear the case. And to give you my opinion, I agree with Justice Clarence Thomas, who wrote a dissenting opinion. He was joined by Justice Samuel Alito and Neil Gorsuch. And he says this: so what explains the court's refusal to do its job here? I suspect it has something to do with the fact that some respondents in these cases are named Planned Parenthood. Justice Thomas said, there's no legal reason to support the court refusing to accept this case. The only reason why the refusal to accept the case occurred is because it appears that the justices who rejected the case are concerned that Planned Parenthood is involved in it.
Now, why would John Roberts and Brett Kavanaugh, who we don't really know a whole lot about in terms of what kind of Supreme Court justice he's going to wind up being, why would they be concerned about Planned Parenthood being involved?
Did they have to say? Because you would think the reason Ed's asking this is because you would think those two who are Republican appointed justices and Brett Kavanaugh, most recently, those two were thought of as pro-life justices. Now, the question here was not explicitly about abortion, though, right?
No, it wasn't. It was the specific question was whether or not a private citizen can tell the state government who needs to be included in their Medicaid framework for funding purposes.
Yeah, they just didn't.
Justice Roberts and Kavanaugh, I wouldn't think, would have any sympathy for Planned Parenthood like you'd expect the liberal, the progressive wing of the Supreme Court. They'd want to protect Planned Parenthood. It's the largest abortion provider in the country. So why would these two justices rule accept the case?
It's a good question, and all I can do is speculate that they don't want to be perceived as anti-women, don't want to be perceived as anti-Planned Parenthood, because you have Justice Roberts not too long ago lashing out at President Trump for referring to certain judges and justices as being Obama judges. So he didn't want to be construed as a Trump judge or as a Republican judge. And then you have Brett Kavanaugh, who may be on the backs of this whole confirmation scenario, wanting to prove Susan Collins true, that she wouldn't be hostile.
So the next question is, what happens now?
That's the question. So Judge...
Excuse me for interrupting you here, Abe, and it's rare that I interrupt on this program, but what the overarching issue that we're looking at here, folks, is pro-life people and both in the public and in the Congress and in the presidency have wanted for years to have Planned Parenthood not receive federal tax dollars. They get $500,000.
$500 million
annually.
Yeah.
That go they're put into the budget by the federal government designated for Planned Parenthood. Now, Planned Parenthood will tell you they don't use that money to fund abortions. They'll say, you're misrepresenting the facts here, Wildman. We don't use that for abortion. We use that for breast cancer screenings or
keeping the lights on.
No, they don't do mammograms.
Whatever. They'll say health for women.
Right.
Poor women who don't have access to medical care anywhere else. So you're wanting to deny these women. I'm just telling you how their arguments persuade some people to support them, Planned Parenthood. But now the law is the Hyde Amendment that's been around forever, says that Democrats and Republicans agreed upon many years ago, says that you cannot use federal tax dollars to do abortions. Okay. But Planned Parenthood gets around this by having separate books. Okay. They have books for one part of their company, if that's what you want to call it, organization that does all these things I mentioned for poor women, what they would say, these health care. And then they have the other part of their company that do abortions. They're the number one, as you say, the largest provider of abortions in America. I think they do 35% of all abortions in the country or something like that. So this is why when we say Planned Parenthood, we are wanting to see them stop getting money. However, it can happen. And in this case, I think these states, namely Louisiana, very pro-life state, Kansas, a very pro-life state, I believe, fair to say, at least pro-life, if not very, they don't want, to use the money that comes from Medicare. Is that what it is?
Medicare
to give to Planned Parenthood. So they're trying to stop it at a state level. Have I got this right, A?
Yeah, you got it right.
So the legislatures, which are responsible for distribution of or at least the state government is, though they get the money from Washington.
The federal statutes allow the states to administer the money as they...
And Louisiana and Kansas are trying to stop money from going to Planned Parenthood because they do abortions.
That's right.
So that's what all this is about. I'm sorry to be so long-winded with that, but that helps explain what's going on here. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. So we don't know... you never know how a Supreme Court justice will... how his career will go.
If they're nominated by a Democrat.
Well, that's true. You do. But for Republicans, you sort of got to wait and see how it goes because they... we were all very disappointed, at least everybody I know, with Justice Roberts when he ruled that Obamacare was legal and it was a tax, when...
Patently Justice, absurd.
In spite of the Obama administration arguing the exact opposite.
Yeah, and that... What that did was Obamacare, the question was, can the federal government compel a private citizen to buy a product? That was basically the question at hand for the Supreme Court. And so I just thought for sure the Supreme Court's going to say no on this one. I mean, you can't do that. But John Roberts, did legal gymnastics to find a way. In fact, that's what he said, I think, to find a way to support President Obama, despite the fact that he was appointed by President Bush. You got to be leery of these Supreme Court justices that are appointed by Republicans. They either get drugged or, I don't know, something. I'm using, again, another metaphor there. Drugged by the left over a course of time, and they start going wobbly on us. What else is a concern to the Hamilton corner today?
Well, the thing is that the issue that remains perilous is now the status of the law. A state could be sued not only for what they do affirmatively, but also for inaction. So the issue that was present, if a private citizen can sue a state to require them to include certain people in the Medicaid funding framework, they also can sue them if they refuse to include others. Yeah. So a state is kind of, you're in trouble if you do something, and you could be in trouble if you don't do something.
Well, doesn't what the Supreme Court did this week make it impossible almost? It takes power away from the state to decide who's going to get the Medicaid funds.
That's exactly right.
Because one person can put up their hands and say, I disagree with you not allowing Planned Parenthood to get the money.
Or I want Battagliano Medicare services offered. Or I want Creeley to be able to receive Medicaid funds. And you haven't included them in your qualified funding recipient list.
So states will be in court all the time.
Literally. And that's what Justice Thomas said, that this is an issue that has produced scores of litigation and now will continue to produce scores of litigation. And this is a problem that we, the Supreme Court, have created.
Yes.
Did Brett Kavanaugh write about this?
He didn't write separately. He just joined the majority. He didn't write his individual.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how he does. I know that disappointed a lot of pro-life folks.
Yeah.
When Brett Kavanaugh was up for appointment, and we supported him here, we rated him a 4-star out of 5 as far as being a conservative, because he had done some things in the past which were not so conservative.
One of them were his concerns about his stance on life.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a Catholic, I think.
He is.
Pro-life personally, but I guess time will tell. We'll have to see another case or two to know more about his how he's going to do. All right, Fred, what else you got? Abe, thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you.
For
thank
sharing
you.
With us this afternoon, 5 o'clock.
Yes, sir.
You're going to be talking about what? Do you know
yet? A host of issues. Yeah, I know some things. Andrew McCarthy wrote a piece in the National Review that says he thinks, based on the tea leaves, that President Trump will be indicted. So I'm going to dig into
while
that.
While he's in office?
Well, that's the question.
I didn't think you could indict him.
He can't be indicted while he's in office. So I would have to infer that he means once he leaves office. But I wanted to dig into some of the...
With campaign finance violations?
Yes,
oh, my goodness.
He's saying based on the sentencing report in the Coin case.
That's basically like jaywalking in today's world.
President Obama paid a $2 million fine for campaign finance violations.
Okay. Well, and let me just say this. Part of what we're saying here is that campaign finance laws are so numerous...
Yeah.
And cover so much ground, and there are some gray areas that every candidate, knowingly or unknowingly, is probably violating something.
Yeah.
And but in this case, President Trump, some of his defenders are saying, listen, he wasn't using campaign funds. He was using his own money.
Yeah.
So anyway, that'll be stuff that will play out, I guess, and if then, this goes to court.
And then I also plan to talk about there was a 9-year-old girl who unfortunately committed suicide after being, I would say, terrorized at school. And it's come to surface that she happened to be, you know, a black girl, and she's being taunted for having white friends. And
what?
Yes.
Where did this happen?
It happened in
Alabama. Bullying.
Yeah.
Bullying.
Yeah. Bullying. And it's amazing that most of the mainstream media outlets tried to conceal the fact that you had other black children terrorizing her for being friends with a white family who were bringing her to school every day.
Huh.
Oh,
how old was she?
9.
9 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's very, very sad.
Tragic.
All right, Abe, we will tune in this afternoon.
All right.
See what you have to say.
Thank you, guys.
Fred, what's the next story?
Well, let's return to the border just for a minute.
Run for the border.
Oh, boy. Here's a story. Yesterday, two groups of Central American migrants, these are the folks that have been, you know, around the border there in Tijuana, they went to the U.S. consulate in Tijuana with a list of demands, with one group delivering an ultimatum to the Trump administration, either let them in the U.S. or pay them $50,000 each to go home. Among other demands were that deportations be halted and that asylum seekers be processed faster in greater numbers. Stop and think about this. These are folks, they're not American citizens. They're citizens of other countries. They're hanging around the south of the border, and they're saying, we'll go home, American taxpayers, if you give us $50,000. I think it's called extortion or an attempted extortion.
That is nervy beyond the pale.
But what arrogance, and where does that arrogance come from? It leaves one to speculate. They are so confident that there's so much pressure from the Democrats and the media in this country that they're bold enough to go to the U.S. consulate and say, we can be bought off.
Well, and you know, just to show that this caravan and this type of movement is political in nature. One of the organizers of this caravan from Honduras, Alfonso Guerrero Ulloa, I think is the way you pronounce his name, he says, it may seem like a lot of money to you, he's talking to a newspaper, but it is a small sum compared to everything the United States has stolen from Honduras.
Ah.
So these guys, it sounds like Marxism to me. These people are being driven along by organizers for political reasons, and that is the political argument behind the demand for 50 grand.
It's just crazy. I read that this morning. I said, you know, it's just hard to believe the arrogance, but I think it goes to the spirit. These aren't people who are just looking for a better
right.
life. Geraldo Rivera is on Foxhole. These are just people looking for a better life. Oh no! If you're going to the U.S. consulate and saying, "Hand over some money, taxpayers," and we might go away.
Looking for a better life is not a good reason to let somebody in.
Well,
that sounds cold and callous.
No, there's 3 billion people in the world.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
I
mean, we have political asylum laws that allow for refugees to come here if they meet the criteria.
Right.
And that's one way to get into our country. In fact, when I was in D.C. recently, I met a driver, Lyft, I think was the company.
Oh, Lyft, yeah.
It was Lyft, like a taxi,
right.
Except for his own private car. But anyway, we were using him, and he was a political refugee from somewhere in one of the stands over there. And he told us his story. His family escaped from there to Turkey, and then were able to come to the U.S. as political refugees.
Yeah.
So that is we do allow for that, and then the legal application process into our country. But when Geraldo Rivera says they're only coming here for a better life, these folks from Central America who are caravanned up, and that's not you don't come to the American border and be given citizenship because you say I'm here to look for a better life. You know what I'm saying?
Well, but this is the kind of thing I want to say to Geraldo. If you think that's a good enough reason, then there are people in this country who want a better life. Are you saying they have a right to come, who live here, who are American citizens,
right,
who are poor? Are you saying they have a right to your house, Geraldo? I mean, you know, obviously there are people who want a better life. There are people in this country who want a better life.
Yeah, this is why I get a little concerned when proponents of more border security or even President Trump sometimes and Republicans. Yes, there are drugs pouring into our country. Yes, there are MS-13 gangs and so forth. But you should not be suggesting that that's all the problem. You know what I'm saying? Yes, those are elements of the problem. But the problem is just people pouring into our country, maybe with, you know, they're not criminals or anything. They're just people pouring in here illegally, and we don't know who they are, where they're going, and that's a problem because you can't control your borders. So, all right, Fred.
One more story before we have to go to news. And I was going to say, end on a lighter note, and you'll know what I mean when I say California. I got a story from California for you. The California Public Utilities Commission, also known as PUG, P-U-C, they have a plan to raise some money out there. And here's the plan. They are going to tax. That's what they want to do. They want to tax every text message every California sends on their cell phone.
Oh, I hope it happens.
I don't know. I text a lot with my daughter.
Can you imagine? Hi, Mom.
No, but 10 cents. I think it would be only applicable to California citizens, wouldn't it?
That's correct.
Yeah, you can't tax a. You live in Mississippi. You can't.
Oh, I just in between inside.
It's a state tax. They can't tax you for doing that. But I don't think this is going to work. I think.
No, you misunderstand what I'm saying. I pay my daughter's phone bill.
Well, in that case, yes, you have a reason to be concerned. Yeah. Yes. Anyway, that sounds like a joke.
It's not.
What's the reason why? What are they using the money for?
They want to use the money to help people who really can't afford cell phones, kind of like the Obama phone thing.
Right.
Yeah, so they want to do
you
that.
You're going to get a big pile of money, and you then you apply for a...
I don't know how much they're going to charge if that passes. Is that in the legislature being proposed?
It's going to be voted on by the Public Utilities Commission in a few weeks.
I wonder... Well, I guess they have the authority to tax. That's kind of crazy.
They might make it retroactive, too. That's part of the plan.
Back 3 years?
But go back several years.
Well, I hope it happens because California...
Teach them a lesson kind of thing.
Well, yeah, because they need... Now, a lot of Californians already understand this, but socialism doesn't work in the end. It doesn't work. Eventually, these kinds of ideas run into, as Ed says,
reality
is a brutal teacher.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, it's the same reason these liberals won't let homeless folks sleep in their backyard, but they are homeless advocates.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You can't – reality runs into your heart stories.
Yes.
All right?
Yeah.
Your heart-wrenching, you know.
Because look at it this way. So you're just providing a phone or are you providing a plan? Is it unlimited – you know, data?
Did a penny a tax or what will it be?
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, the free phones that they're wanting to give out. How much do you have to earn before you can apply for a free phone?
I would love to see this campaign because help us provide free phones to all these illegal citizens here who now, people here.
I didn't think about that. That's probably what they're wanting to give the phones
for. Can't afford a phone of their own. Have a heart, people.
Yeah.
I just want to see how liberal California...
I think you should go out and buy U-Haul stack as a stock because a whole bunch of more people are going to be leaving California.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for joining us this hour, Fred. Appreciate your contributions. We will be back in 5 minutes with more of today's issues on American Family Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.